People of the internet.
Excuse this dirty mirror, but our priest view is going to be this way today. Just mix it up a little bit. Joined by David Hawkshaw today to talk about all of his rugby in school, out of school, his recent injury, what it was like to captain the Irish 20s, and so on and so forth. Really hope you enjoy it. I love Dave. I knock a lot of crack out of Dave. He's a good lad. So really hope you enjoy. So, ba-da-ba-bam. So, you're ready to go, you don't have any other... Ready? Ba-da-ba-bam! Oh, nailed it, nailed it. Cheers. Yeah, the first one. Now, Dave, here we are. As you can see, I'm joined by my good friend Dave here today. For those of you who pay attention to rugby and the upcoming stars, Dave is... Well, unfortunately, actually, Dave is sidelined at the minute because of an injury, but Dave was the captain of the Irish 20s in the Six Nations, and then, unfortunately, due to an injury, had to pull out. So, but I thought it was a great time to grab Dave while he's in the middle of his rehab and stuff to kind of chat about how he's getting on. So, Dave, how are you?
Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, not too bad now. Not too bad. Taken away, back into the swing of things now, so it's...
Fair. Yeah. We were discussing in the car on the way over about your knee, so...
Yeah.
Walk me through what happened to your knee first, just so for those people who don't know.
Yeah, so I tore my ACL, my LCL, which is just the outside, and tore my hamstring as well. It was in a tackle in training, in the middle of the Six Nations. So
that's terrible.
It was there was a bit going on there. Yeah.
Is it a bigger kick in the balls that it happened in training and not in the match, or is it just the same?
Yeah, like it's. Obviously, it can't be. It is a kick in the balls, but I think it's kind of either or.
Yeah.
The one good thing that you know is games being televised and something like that didn't happen. Like
fair
in that, if that makes any sense.
Fair.
You know, so
like there's no evidence of it out there.
No, yeah. Like it was kind of nice and quiet under the radar kind of thing. So, yeah, you know, it was a pain either way. So it's just kind of putting up with it now.
Yeah. So now you're in the middle of your rehab now, and you were saying that you have a long road ahead, essentially.
So I got my first operation the week I did it, which was the start. It was the start of March, around 8th of March. I got my first one, then kind of had to wait 8 weeks then, just like non-weight bound, until I could get my cruciate done. So that ended up getting delayed then for another 2 weeks, and then got the cruciate done at the end and got straight in. I wasn't expecting it because I hadn't walked or anything like that.
Yeah.
Seen the physio then on the Friday, got the operation on the Tuesday, seen the physio on the Friday, and he's like, give me your crutches. I was like, no, I want these, like,
fair.
I want to keep them. So, you know what, you're kind of delighted to get into it. It's tough going and stuff like that, but really good to kind of get that kind of routine back in your life and kind of get back into it, that every day you're kind of getting better.
Exactly, like as you're just off your crutches now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, it's one thing, I've only ever been on crutches for small periods, but like, in fairness, you get a nice pump. You do get a nice little try.
That is true. Like, you know, I was going out to the Wales game, and there was a lot of, like, I was crutching the loads for that, and for some reason they decided to put the dressing room, like for me now, it was miles away from the pitch.
Yeah.
I was coming back and forth, back and forth. And by the end, like, I could barely get myself back to the pitch. And then halftime came, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stay out here.
That was your upper body training.
Yeah.
Like the physios knew you were going to be. They're like, Dave, five more, change room back, Dave.
Yeah, so now, yeah, it was sweaty anyway, to say the least. But,
fair. But you're balls deep in your physio now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep saying balls deep. That's just stuck in my head now, so I'm probably going to say it again. So you're in the middle of your physio now, but... kind of let's come back a little bit. So when did you find out that you were going to be the captain of the 20s?
It was, so there was the squad selection on the Friday.
So this is Friday. So this is this January?
January, I think it was around the 20, 21st, around then.
Late Jan.
To try me, yeah.
Late Jan.
Late Jan. the squad selection was, and there's a group that has to go to the day, and it's one player from each province. So I got a call on the Tuesday. It was on the Friday. I got a call on Tuesday just to say, could you come to that? But there was three other lads.
And you were representing
just the Leinster. It was just to have people there.
And can I ask who were the other
from Connacht, Dylan Tierney Martin, who's the hooker. From Munster, Craig Casey, the scrum half.
Oh yes.
And from Ulster was Asia Allison, who actually missed out in the Six Nations with injury, but he played in the last game now against England in the World Cup. And then I just remember I was at the movies with Luke McDermott on Thursday night, and got a text off Noel just to say, any chance could he have a word? On Wednesday night, and just got a text off Noel to say, any chance could he have a chat with me the next day, because we had a game the week before.
So
it didn't go too well, so I was expecting to get a bit of a bashing off from them. So anyway, I kind of got there on the Thursday and text him. We were in doing a bit, so text him, but he wasn't in. I think I was finished at like 8:30, and he was like, yeah, listen, I won't be until 1 o'clock, so any chance could you hang on? And I was like, oh Jesus, like,
it's a long
haul. So kind of sitting around getting fat, just kind of eating anything for the last, kind of very nervous, I didn't know what was going on anyway. So
did you, like, in your head, what did you think you were being called in for?
It was like, for me, because we had two games at Christmas against Leinster Development and Munster Development, and I didn't start the Leinster Development game and started the Munster Development game, so like I didn't know if I was going to be playing or not, or
and never mind like being that. The captain
like I was like, always thoughts go through your head throughout the season, but you know, when something like that happens, like, not that happens, but like when you're not in the squad, I think, or not in the 20, not in the 15, your kind of mentality is just like what am I thinking about, like I need to get, like I want to get myself into it, what do I need to do to get into it, if you get me. So anyway, so then he met me there on the Cafe Nero across from Donnybrook, and literally 10-minute conversation, kind of didn't even get me a coffee, like it was shocking. So just let me know, and then that was it.
And so obviously there's a lot of competition in the squad. So, and yourself and Harry Byrne kind of go back and forth, or we're going kind of back and forth, and like how important do you think competition is?
Oh, it's huge. Like, if you were saying, so before we went in, before the camp started, there was 4 10s in there that were all playing A's for their for the province.
So it's you, Harry Byrne.
Harry, Bruce Houston from the North, and Ben Healy from Munster.
Yeah.
And then another one, Jake Flannery, who's also a 10 and an absolutely brilliant player. So there's 5 there compared to the year before that, and there was only 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah.
So it was just mad. So like, do you know, it was there, like competition was everywhere, and you could, like, from the first camp there was everyone kind of biting at the bit, kind of, because they knew that, like, there was nobody safe, and even coming up to games there was never anybody safe. So I think that was a good thing that kind of drove everyone on. But even in saying that, because there can be healthy and unhealthy competition, there was never any unhealthy competition between any kind of position. Like, it was, everyone was just kind of was very close as well, which, or still is very close, they're still there in Argentina. So but I think that's what kind of pushed everyone on more as well, if that makes any sense. That's that everyone was actually close, that they were trying to drive each other, kind of.
Fair. So what pulling back from that, sorry. So the competition that you would have had in, so you remember in school, obviously, for those who don't know, Dave's a couple of years behind me in school, but we played on the same cup team a couple of years ago. But you, I remember you kind of, you were kind of flagged as a star. So you've what, three cup jerseys, two senior cups?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you have 5 cup jerseys, but you have 3 senior cup jerseys. So what is it like going from, you know, obviously, I know you're very modest yourself, but when you're going from somewhere where you're obviously tagged as a very talented player who has a lot to offer, and when you're brought into a big system like that where everyone there, you know, so how is it like going from being in a big, or a, what's it, big fish, small pond, to Was that a hard adjustment to make from, you know, being top schools player into, you know, trying to become a, you know, a pro?
Yeah, well, like, I think what helps you is, you know, as you know as well, like, being involved in kind of underage systems, so like the under 18s, under 19s, under 20s, so you know everyone around you. You know everyone around you, and kind of, you know, that the standards that they're looking for and what they expect from you. Like, for me, coming in your year, like, I've never met, like, that kind of drive that you guys had to kind of for that senior cup was absolutely incredible. Like, so it was kind of, when you were in kind of that, like, that was a professional environment, if you get me. Like, that's what I felt anyway. Yeah. Like, you know, it's because yous have been through it all before, so you kind of learned a lot from that. And then when it came into under 18s, under 19s and things like that,
you kind of knew those kind of
pro
systems already.
Pro system, like, you know, like, I wouldn't even know what that is now, if you get me, but like, it's you just, like, you kind of just need to kind of back yourself as well. And
I suppose that's a big, you know, it's one of those things that, as it's an occupation that you're chasing here, so you do, if you're working in an office, you're not going to be second guessing your numbers or whatever. When it's your job, I suppose you kind of have to strive to
that's definitely it. Like, you know, you kind of have to back yourself and know that you kind of want it, because if you don't, you're going to be found out very quickly. If that makes sense now. But it's a massive kind of change, a massive environment. Like, we, for me now, I wasn't in UCD as much this year. I would have been in Donnybrook, and so I wouldn't really be in with the seniors and stuff like that. But like, when you do go in there, like, we had a Celtic Cup at the start of the season, and just the way they conduct themselves and stuff like that, you're kind of like, shit, like, I have so much to learn here. Like, it's kind of, you realise, but that's the kind of beauty of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Sure, Rome wasn't built in a day and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, obviously you had to, sorry, for those who don't know, Dave actually also has a big background in hurling. So, you had to make a decision about what direction you were going to go. What was the main, not factor, but the main factors that led to you kind of deciding that you wanted a career in rugby over, you know, playing for Dublin in hurling, or you also played football as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, played a bit, yeah. So, the main factor,
if there's many, work away, but...
No, I remember we were... Right, they were with the data PwC thing. When the squad was announced, they asked me that, and they said, "Oh, was the money in, like, the reason and stuff like that?" And I remember going, like, "No, it wasn't." And then I was chatting to one of the boys after. I was like, "Oh, they tried to catch me out with that question." And then looked in the paper the next day, and he goes, "Oh yeah, money was one of the reasons why David decided, or not money, but like a financial
benefit, like,
or trying to make a life for himself financially was a reason and stuff like that." And I remember reading the paper just being like,
twisting the words,
wankers. For me, I kind of always knew I was going to play, wanted to push on and try rugby. Absolutely loved hurling and Gaelic. I kind of more kind of stuck with the hurling kind of later on, but I always wanted to get as much as I could out of it. In the sense of, like, I always wanted to play with the minors, always wanted to represent Dublin minors. And wanted to represent Bridges with the senior team, and kind of win a championship. And that was kind of the selfishness in me. But then you're playing with a group of lads that you've grown up with since I was about two or three.
It's the community before, of it.
And, like, you're never going to get that anywhere else. And as you said there, the community of it, like, you know, going down to Bridges and stuff like that, like, you just absolutely love it. Like, I remember you'd come off from big wins. I can remember so many times coming out of games and big wins and going home and being like, definitely playing hurling. Definitely playing hurling. Like, I'm sticking with it.
And was that something that you would go back and forth on over a lot?
Oh, definitely. 100%. Like, so I was very lucky when with minors that came. And, well, lucky in the sense that the coach at the time was a Bridges coach. And not that he picked me and stuff like that, but just
he knew you.
He knew me, and I would. He was a coach that coached me from under fives, like, so we knew each other really well. And he knew my story, like, he knew I was playing rugby and stuff like that, so he was sound about it and kind of just let me know early on. So I actually came back from the rugby and ended up doing something to my thumb at the end. It was my fourth year.
I remember.
Ended up doing something to my thumb and coming back to him and being like, yeah, well, I won't be able to play for another 6 weeks. And I remember him looking at me and like, I literally say he was fit to throw me through the window.
Yeah,
but,
I'd say so.
Yeah, like, I was very lucky in that sense that when I came back that he was kind of chatting to me all along, seeing how I'm getting on, and kind of helped me pursue the boat at the time. But
probably helped to do that in, like, you probably wouldn't have been able to do that had the coach not have, you know, known you, because you would have, it would have
not been, at all, like,
it was this fellow hasn't been here for ages,
would have been like piss off. And I actually would have been like, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I won't argue with that. So I was like, so was lucky enough to play, kind of, I decided not to do Leinster under 18s that summer and just played a hurling. And I was like one of the best decisions I've ever made, because it was, because when you'd go away from one, you'd start to miss the other, if you get me. So you were really enthusiastic when you were coming back, and like, especially coming into school and stuff like that. Anyway, so we lost to Limerick in a semi-final that year, and it was early August, so a few weeks later I got a call being like, if you want to come back and play the rugby with the, because the Interpros were coming up. So I was like, so it actually, I was very lucky that it worked out that I could play the boat that year. And then the year after, tried to chance my arm again and do it again, but I was getting injured. Like, I did my shoulder in a camp in April, and I was being stupid. Like, I tried to come back and play the hurling and then play with the, like, do the boat in the one summer. And you could see the coaches were a bit like, oh, what's this lad at? Like, kind of pushing, like, he's chancing our arm now and early. So I decided just to play the rugby that summer. And was like, right, I'm done now, done playing hurling, I'm not playing anymore, sticking with the rugby. And then I remember the rugby ended and I was on the bridges.
Straight back to hurling.
And they were like, oh, you play championship or whatever, or like, not ask me, but I was like, I'd love to play. And then ended up playing playing with Bridget's. And
it's nice though that, like, you've still got that like community attachment, because I feel like it's very easy to go into, like, a, you know, to be pursuing a career in rugby and, you know, forget about your roots and just go, like, I'd say all your teammates in Bridges are definitely very appreciative that you do, or have in the past come back to play.
You just kind of love them. Like, I loved the two of them and just wanted to play the two of them, like, you know, and I didn't want to, because I've seen people before pick one or the other and then, like, regret decisions and stuff like that. And I just wanted to be 100% sure what I wanted to do. Like, and I still, obviously, you'd miss the hurling and stuff like that and all that kind of stuff. But I just wanted to, like, give the two of them my best shot and see. And, like, I knew myself I was always going to play the rugby, but I just really wanted to kind of, I wanted to finish playing hurling when I was like, yes, I'm done now. And, like, I got that. I remember my last game, coming off, didn't play great, was coming off, and we lost in the league final to Bowdoin, and I was just like, I can't keep playing, like, I can't keep the two of them up. And I've kind of been delighted, like, but I was delighted I got to that decision.
And so it was after that the roads split.
Kind of half thinking again or trying, but then I was like, oh no, I'm not doing it. But no, it was I kind of had that ending that I was, and like, I know I'm saying that loud, like, I'm a 30-year-old man. Like, you never know what's down the line, of course, but
sorry, I'm just gonna change this real quick.
You're good.
Hope
I'm not spewing on there.
No, man, absolutely, fucking enjoying this. So as well, then, before we go away from the hurling and the rugby together, hurling's obviously a very skillful sport.
Yeah.
Do you find that kind of having such a good, you know, hand-eye coordination skills, or that, do you feel like that the hurling helps your rugby?
Yeah, like, it definitely would. Yeah, like, when you were coming back from hurdle or something like that, first of all, you were a lot fitter than, like, I know there's a big difference between rugby fitness and air fitness, but as a back, you could kind of get away with it. Kind of being that bit lighter and stuff like that. So that definitely helped, kind of being that fitter and being able to last kind of those games. But yeah, like the hand-eye coordination, kind of the movements, things like that. I know there's tiny little things, but like, say for us now, what our coach and her used to always kind of try with us is kind of working hard and work right and stuff like that. And that doesn't change when it comes to
rugby. No, it's the same.
It's the exact same thing, but like, you know, it's like those tiny little things which have definitely helped.
I remember, if anything, the one thing that you definitely brought over from your hurling was your feistiness. I remember anyone who, Blackrock and Belvedereans will remember this, playing Blackrock out in Cabra in sixth year, and like with Davey, who obviously filled out a bit now, but he's in fourth year, so he's not the biggest man in the world. And then you've got Caelan Doris, and there's a little bit of argy bargies, and who's the first man, the smallest man on the field, straight up into Caelan Doris's face. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm following him to war, let's go. But no, definitely, I remember being like, oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, I remember then when I was chatting shit or whatever, and he turns around and goes for me, and I remember standing there being like, I'm dead.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Doris.
Out of nowhere, James Kenny comes across and nails him, and I remember standing there like, oh my god, I can't believe I got away from this. So I just kind of went back into the background then and put the head down.
Ran back into the background.
Yeah, that's it, that's it. That was very stupid.
Let the real men
Exactly, let you do it.
Yeah. Oh no, well, like, I think I've kind of always wanted to ask you that about the kind of hurling and rugby dynamic. Obviously, I'm sure we've talked about it over a pint before, but so currently, I know this isn't a huge interest because you're not actually playing, but so down, all the lads are down in Argentina at the minute. So they beat England, convincing enough win. Who else have they got?
They've Australia on Saturday, 2 o'clock.
That's big.
And
is that our time? 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, yeah, our time. And then they've Italy on Tuesday, which I don't know the time for. But they had a great win there against England, which was tough now. Like, it was very, because the weather over there, it's so hot.
I was watching the highlights, and for some reason, they only showed something like 4 tries. Was there?
Ireland scored 6.
Yeah,
I think England scored about 4.
Were they all converted? 42, wasn't it? 42-26?
I think so, actually.
Yeah. Decent day off the tee.
Yeah, very good day off the tee.
Who was playing?
Jay Flannery, and then Ben Healy came on and kicked a few nice ones as well. So wouldn't be me now, that tee kind of stuff now. But no, they had a great win. And they're flying, they're absolutely flying. So Australia are very strong. They won the Oceania Cup, which is the...
So Australia are the feared southern team? Like, it's not... Would they be better than the All Blacks?
Well, they beat the All Blacks in that cup, so they'd definitely be very strong. But sure, look, you'd, like, what a win can do for you, confidence-wise and things like that.
Exactly. I also think a win against England, whether it's a friendly, it's a qualifier, that'll rev up the engines.
Like. Exactly. And it kind of, there's always, like as you said, a win against that, and there's such a buzz around camp and things like that. So it'll be a great game now on Saturday. So
definitely, I must try and watch it. Actually, I'm going to be mid canathon.
You will actually
mid canathon. For those of you who don't know what canathon is, it's a 6 kilometer run, a can of beer at every kilometer stop.
Is it one can, or is there some place you have to get to 2?
For now it's one. We'll see what. Maybe next year for year 2 of the canathon, we'll add in like 2 or 3 cans. Yeah. But I think for now we better stick with the one.
Make sure people get back alive.
Like. Absolutely. Okay, so now you're on a academy contract.
Yeah.
Correct. So how, I remember when I was back in school, the way they used to do it was that there was a 3-year. Stepping thing that you do 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and then they decide then are you getting a pro contract or whatever. But they've kind of abolished that now. It's 1 year contract.
Yeah, it's like they say there's the 3 years, but you can lose it after
one.
You could lose it after a year, or after like end of next year or something like that. You can. Yeah.
And so when do you find out then? Or do you just assume that you're there until
you don't get a call?
Is that it? Like, is it like, okay, I'm here unless I'm told otherwise?
Yeah. I think that's it anyway.
So I do not want that phone call, yeah, so yeah.
Exactly, so that's why I felt on every month. Since I got this Lee thing, like, it's kind of throw the phone away. So, no. Yeah, so it's if you get a call, I don't know, to be honest with you, how it works.
I have not been kicked out yet.
I'm trying to kind of say what if I know, but no, I have no idea. Yeah.
No, that's right. I just wasn't sure, because. So before you did your. Did you do Subcademy, or you went straight?
No, yeah, well, I did. I was told in July, I was told in August. So I did.
You did kind of a summer bit.
Yeah, summer
bit. And then, it's not a very common thing to be offered a contract straight out of school.
Yeah, no, but it's kind of...
I know you're very humble and all that. I just doesn't change anything.
Like, for me, I'm still did the under-20 summer program. In Donnybrook with the Subacademy.
Mm.
And they'd still expect a lot from you. Obviously they'd expect any more. So it's... I remember when I got it, I thought... You know, for a few days you're like, oh, sure, but then you kind of get brought back down to earth very quickly.
But I remember when Huey O'Sullivan left school, and he obviously did the same, and then I remember hearing you got it as well, and I was like, that's good Belleville stock there, that's good Belleville stock.
Good to have Huey in there now, to be fair.
Like, I'd say that is good to have someone that you've, like, you and Huey have been, like, when would you and Huey have started playing together? First and second, second, third year?
Yeah, second, third year, yeah.
So, how many cup teams have you played in together?
I don't know.
Oh, man. 1, 2, 5. Oh, no, you didn't play with them in your last year, so 4.
Yeah, 4 cup years, yeah.
4 cup years.
So, yeah, we argue a lot
in
those 4 years, but he loves me at heart, really. He goes on, like, he doesn't, but he loves me at heart.
I don't think he even tells anyone that he actually loves them, but I think deep down...
Yeah.
He's actually a nice guy. Excuse me, dude. Dave, I'm really enjoyed talking to you today, but I am going to have to put you through your paces on the segment soon. So, are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, do you want to start off with gag or life hack?
Go gag.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
My gag?
Yeah, you go. All right,
I have it here now. I just want to make sure that I know it.
Yeah.
Even though it's very, very small and poor. What do you call a fat psychic? I actually like this one.
I don't know, what is it?
A fortune teller.
A what?
A fortune teller.
Fortune teller.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
It's not bad. You'd actually have no idea how hard it is to keep coming up with jokes. I actually am a comedian, but I just thought of this one today. I was like, what's black, white, smelly, and red?
What?
A skunk in a blender.
That's awful.
It's so awful. That's brilliant. So awful, but I'm just like, fuck it, throw it out every day.
Oh, brilliant. I love it.
Have you got your life hack?
Yeah, well, if you think it, like...
I know they're
for
they're
my life hack, I was thinking, let's see... my life hacks are awful, like, you know, it's kind of a microwave, how to get kind of 2 bowls in.
Okay, well, walk me through it.
Well, you can either, like, put a cup in and then put the bowl on top of that.
And then have like a two-tiered. Nice.
So that would be something if that.
And did you did someone tell you that, or did you just be like, oh?
Yeah, someone told me. Passing it, family trades. What else? Someone else told me today about how to cut an avocado. I think they said cut and twist, but I don't understand.
Yeah,
you
stick the knife into the avocado and then like twist it around, like so it like cuts along the nut. Yeah, I've actually never cut an avocado, but I've seen them being cut.
Yeah.
Okay, my life hack. I know all you manly men out there are going to be like, oh, you're so gay. But fucking hand cream. I'm actually going to fucking have a whap. Have some if you want. It's just, like, you just feel so fresh.
To be fair, I do agree with this.
I know it's a pink bottle as well, and that doesn't help. But it's just something that I've gotten. Like when I'm driving, red light, cheers. You know, but I just like having smooth hands, so I actually think they're like €2.50. Healthier hands, stronger nails, 10 times stronger nails in 2 weeks. We'll see. I don't know how you test the tensile strength of your nails, but anyway, okay. So, Dave, big question.
This is the worst bit.
Okay, do we have? Okay, so I actually haven't put in Ushing at 2.5 as well, so he's here.
Okay.
So where, nice birthday, where on this list are you hoping that you fit in?
To be fair, the only person I want to beat in that list as well.
To be fair, we'll see. Like, it'll be really unfortunate if you don't beat him.
If I don't beat him, it'll be awful. Then. But he's the only one there that I'd be delighted with now. I mean.
Okay, right. Are you ready to get cracking?
Let's go.
Okay, so what does CPR stand for?
I don't know.
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
How many questions do we have again?
10.
Okay.
Which country produces 2/3 of the world's vanilla? I there's no reason why you wouldn't know this, but yeah.
Say England?
No. It's an exotic country. I'll give you one hint, is that there's a movie named after it. Not about vanilla, but about the country.
So I'm gonna try out some country now. There's about the country.
It's just the name of the movie.
Oh, I have no idea.
Could also be an animated flick.
Animated flick.
Yeah. Oh, I actually swear to God, if you don't get this now, I'm going to be giving you that hint.
No, I don't know.
Madagascar.
No!
Oh, man. Okay, what disease does oncology focus on?
I have no idea.
Cancer.
This is awful now.
Which falling fruit supposedly inspired Isaac Newton to write the laws of gravity?
I'm thinking of a fruit now that's...
The falling fruit, so a fruit that would potentially have to be in a tree.
Coconut?
No, apple. Jesus Christ, eh?
This is bad.
Okay, which planet spins the fastest? which has the shortest days, I think, that would like...
Jupiter.
Oh my God, man, it is! Nice! It does a full turn every 10 hours.
Interesting.
Yeah. What is the base unit of mass in the metric system?
I have no idea.
So the metric system is like what we use over here.
Okay.
And mass unit. So like a unit that you'd calculate mass in.
I'm gonna be killed now by any. I have no idea.
But I feel like, what do you weigh yourself in?
Kg.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Kg. I'm gonna be shocked for giving you that, but but you can have it. Between which two countries are the Pyrenees?
I should know this one now, to be fair.
You said that about literally everywhere.
I know, I probably have. I don't know.
Have a guess.
See, I don't want to name these countries now, they're miles away.
Yeah,
so.
But you're going to have to make a guess.
Where are Pyrenees? Let's say India. No.
Not out of the Himalayas, I think. I think they're the Himalayas. Yeah, it's like Nepal and shit. It's France and Spain. So you're a bit far off. And you need to bring you back to this end of the globe.
I was trying to look at your kind of facial expressions.
Okay, what is the chemical symbol for iron? Like, do you know the periodic table?
Yeah.
Like what they are?
It's not going to be I.
No.
Which would have been nice.
It would have been nice. Iodine, just for the address.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Fe.
I wouldn't
so
that.
Weird, like.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with that.
Which is the only metal not solid at room temperature? Used to be in thermometers.
Oh, is that the?
I'm gonna be shocked for giving you this.
Well, actually, I still don't even know that. So, like, you could be copper.
Mercury.
Mercury.
Okay, which is the highest waterfall in the world?
Talking about Niagara, is it?
No. I don't know if you'll get this, to be honest.
I don't know, go on.
Angel Falls in Venezuela?
No.
Yeah, fair. So you got two.
We got two.
You got two. Like, that's... You beat Will.
Two at a push.
Yeah.
So...
Two at a push. Like, okay, even if we don't... So right. We'll count the Jupiter one anyway,
yeah,
and then the kilogram one we'll just give anyway. So you still did beat Will off your own,
yeah.
And then you know you're in the second half of the table. So to be honest. Yeah, to be fair. I think that's a great day at the office.
It's kind of a...
It's a mediocre performance. I wouldn't be writing home about it around, but...
Stoke a few seasons ago in the Premier League. Around there, having it. Yeah. You know, comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah, so... No, I'm fucking... I'm having fun. There was something else I was going to ask you before we finish, but I wanted to ask you for the trivia, but I forgot. Any plans for the summer?
No, well...
Training? Rehab?
Portugal now, 1st of 5th, this week off then.
Yeah.
Half planning, the boys are going into Ireland, so...
Oh, I'd
half
say...
Half planning to meet them somewhere.
Is that hard to not be able to do what I know you're pursuing something bigger, but...
No, Jesus, yeah. Like, it's... You know, like, especially throughout the year when, you know, every, like, first year college and stuff like that.
Everyone's,
and everyone's going
drinking
out.
Every week.
Yeah. That definitely is... Can, like, is a pain, but you kind of just suddenly just kind of have to put up with kind of.
I'd say after a while, it's one of those things that, like, you probably spend enough time with the lads that you're training with that they're not able to do it either.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, I'll just chill with them and do something else.
Exactly. Like, that can be another, like, as in, like, you don't get to see, you might not be able to get to see your lads as much.
Yeah.
Which is kind of because you kind of get comfortable with the lads that you're with all the time.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're like, oh shoot, I haven't seen the lads in so long and stuff like that. So that's a bit of a pain, like, because, like, you know, you're the lads that you've grown up with in school and stuff like that. But it is tough enough, but, and, like, it is good that there's other lads there that are going through the same. So like, when I say tough enough, like, it's not that bad. Like,
this
but
is not
as
that
in
tough.
Yeah, like, as in, it's like, it's not that bad in the case of that there's lads there with you, so it's fine, but
Dave, look, I've been an absolute pleasure to have you today. I really hope that the knee heals up well and we see you fucking pinging ovals and sometime
hopefully soon. Yeah, thanks very much. Thank you.
No worries. So that's us pretty much finished. Really thanks so much today for coming out today. I live in the middle of nowhere, so it's a bit of a trek to pull you out here, but really happy fucking, I don't know, I'm just talking shy now, sure you end this, but stay tuned, fucking hope to God something good happens soon, and we, Donald Trump is in Ireland, we're trying to get him on the podcast.
Which may as well, like,
yeah.
See
how
we get on.
Oh, I really need to shut up. Thank you.